It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Well, it won't be the first time I burp during the podcast. So, as you are well aware, I watch a lot of British... I love British panel shows.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get most of them here. So I watch a lot of them on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. You've said that.
Yes. But if they ever were shown here, like on BBC America or something, or if they get licensed to make a new American version or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then it's a problem. And so they can get locked down and taken off things
like that. Oh, sure, right.
So,
right.
So like, a while, I used to watch a lot of QI on YouTube. And now I can't. It's mostly not there. And when it does show up, it says you're not okay in your country.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of sucks. So I'd kind of given up on that one. Although I found out the Amazon Prime, one of their channels is a British TV channel. And it has a bunch of things, including QI and a few others. So I might get that one of these days. But, and I also talked about how I've been watching Taskmaster,
mm-hmm.
which is an American show. A British show. They did an American version. It lasted one season. It was not very good. But the British one is awesome. It has been around for many seasons. And I love it. And so I've been watching mostly bits and pieces because I couldn't find full episodes. But I found this weird channel that just started posting most of one of the seasons. And so I watched that. And just about the time that was done, I was like, oh, I'm going to be... Then they put more on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started watching that. And then a different random channel, they all had like weird names that meant nothing to me, popped up and was showing a ton of old ones of this show. So I'm watching through those and I was doing this whole season. And one night recently I finished the episode of a season. So that was all done and that was good. And then last night, tucked my wife into bed and I was like, you know, I've been watching a lot of Taskmaster and I just finished that season. I'll watch something else.
Okay.
And I had just found a different channel that has recent episodes of QI. I was very excited. And so I went there, and every single one said, no, not okay for your country. Mm. I was like, well, shit. All right, I'll just watch some Taskmaster. So I go back. Those two channels that had Taskmaster episodes don't exist anymore.
Oh.
Google killed them.
Wow.
So I have watched all the Taskmaster I'm going to watch. And I tried really hard to, like, find ways I could buy it out there. Mm. Like, it is not sold. If I worked at it, I could buy it on DVD of a format that would not work in my country.
Mm.
But, like, I cannot get my hands on it, so I'm really annoyed. Luckily, still nobody gives a shit about Mock the Week. So, I watch that. Or 8 out of 10 Cats Does a Countdown. So I can watch those all I want. Does it really? I didn't think you were going to come tonight, so I did not plan anything in terms of an intro.
It's just not.
No, it's really not. And I totally thought, because like at 2, it was snowing. And I was like, yeah, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
But then like at 4, it wasn't snowing.
Well, and the radar shows the whole cell kind of going underneath us.
Yeah,
but
I'm good with that.
Always looks like a little bit's going to pop up and maybe hit us, but I don't.
But then by like tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and then it's going to be
it's
warmer.
Gonna be warm. Yeah, so we're going to get precipitation this weekend. It's just going to be rain.
Yeah. I'm
very excited about that because fuck the season. So hello, everyone. Welcome to the MagicalTalkingHat.com podcast. The only .com. It's .com. Welcome. This is the website. Do you think if you go to homestarrunner.com now, like, it's still there?
I don't know. I mean...
Because, like, most of our devices don't support Flash anymore.
Mm.
So I don't even know if you could watch them. But anyway. The only podcast in the world that's still talking about Homestar Runner. Because nobody else is. They've moved on. Even the creators have moved on. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 417.
We're also the only podcast left that does Senor card gauge impressions.
Mm-hmm. Those like those.
Right? Excuse me, Helvetica. Could you lend me 89 cents to buy this canapes for you?
I still say that whenever my wife says she's going to buy something at the store, like food, like a food item, you know, that I like or that's one of my favorites or whatever, yes. I'll say, those like those. Talking about myself.
I still, so when
I don't even know
when I have to
that.
Excuse myself around people, I've had a very interesting collection of things to say when I'm excusing myself around people. And it originally started with an English teacher I had in junior high who also spoke Spanish, and she liked to say, perdóname. And so I would say, perdóname. And then when I went to London and we all got obsessed with club music, and particularly the song called Ecuador has this guy yelling in it repeatedly, escúchame, which means listen to me, but sounds like excuse me. So this became our thing. Oh, escúchame. And so that was a thing I said for a long time. And now I just say pardon, and it sounds sort of French, except when I'm in the right mood. And then I say, oh, escardon me. Which is what Senor Card Gauge says. And for those not aware at home, yes, it's pronounced Senor Card Gauge. There is no tilde looking thing over the N, so you have to pronounce it Senor Card Gauge.
How did those guys come up with that crazy stuff?
I don't know. And knowing the origin doesn't make it any better.
No.
Like, it's just all weird.
Yeah. But it's funny somehow.
Yeah, no, it was hilarious.
I'm sure if I just made stuff up out of nowhere, it wouldn't even be funny.
No, you do, and it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're
so
a mess.
So, how, you know, they just pull stuff right out of their brain and put it on this thing, and it's just hilarious.
That's where they pull it out, but yes. For those of you just joining us, here's how this works. We have a show.
They know that already, though.
Yeah.
They're listening.
I am not in the zone. All right. We have a hat.
Yes.
There we go. It's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, good people, cool people, kind people, salt of the earth people.
Salt of the
people
earth.
Who will one day rule us all. Write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. I still can't believe. I feel like a lot of people learned the word transmogrify from this podcast.
That is surprising because...
Except I think you and I are the weirdos.
Oh.
I don't think transmogrify just comes up for people. And I can't remember where I originally heard it, but it's
Calvin,
just been...
Calvin and Hobbes is where I originally saw it.
That's what a lot of people reference, but no, I just knew it.
I'd never heard
it. I mean, I don't think I was born knowing the word transmogrify, but I don't remember where...
I know it was Calvin and Hobbes, because I thought it was a fun word.
Apparently transmogrify familiar... Yeah, that didn't work. Servants, draw the notes out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't. So, did I talk about this before? So... The wife and I, we go shopping, and the wife and I are comedy nerds, and we're always doing bits all the time with each other.
Sure.
And at the store, particularly at the checkout, we frequently are really doing them and, playing off each other and doing silly stuff, mostly to entertain ourselves, but it often entertains cashiers and baggers and things like that. The other week, I had to go by myself... And learned I should not be a solo act. Like, I ate shit bad. I bombed at the cash register. I could not believe. I'm in line, and in front of me is this scary-looking dude, he's like old, and he kind of looks like he's one of those guys who just comes down from the hills every few months to resupply.
Okay.
Kind of look. And he's not saying a lot or whatever. And so I'm feeling good because I'm like, I can beat this guy. Like, he's just weird and creepy or whatever, and it's fine. But he seemed actually perfectly nice after the fact. But at the time, I was feeling more confident. I get up there. She's like, how are you doing? And I'm like, hi, how are you? Which my wife has taught me to say that. She's like, I'm fine. She's going along. This is a woman, I guess I'll say 20. Like, if it turned out she was in high school, I would not be surprised. Mm. But if it turned out she was in college, I would not be surprised.
Sure.
Like, right around there.
Right.
And so they have the little scanner guns. When they can't scan a thing, like they have a handheld one.
Right.
Recently, they got holsters for them on the machine.
Okay.
They used to just sort of let it sit out there.
Oh, okay.
And that was a place to put it. And I see hers is not in her holster, and it's over where, like, they used to lay it before. And so I say, your gun's not in your holster. Haven't they taught you not to point that at anyone unless you're prepared to shoot them? And I get a little smile from that. But as well as because she says, yeah, it's not, it's gone. I don't know who took it. And I look, and the holster thing is gone.
Mm.
So, like, ripped off, and I was like, okay, that is weird. Like, who stole that? She just keeps scanning. And I'm like, it was probably youths. Youths.
That's always a good
steal
one.
Steal things like that.
Yeah, to say youths.
We got it from New Girl. And
it's a good bit.
Yeah, but nothing.
She's nothing.
Given me, she's given me nothing.
Maybe because she is a youth.
And so I try my saver on this, which is, and I, in retrospect, I don't know what I was doing. But I say, I hope you can tell from the way I pronounced youths and also from using the word youths that I was kidding. Not a beat in between me saying that and her saying, in the most disinterested tone I have, the most dismissive, like she was a queen and I was just a serf, tone I have ever heard, just went, yeah, I got it. And I think I muttered something about how I'm old and people sometimes think that. I don't know. It's all a little bit of blur. I just took my groceries, thanked her, and left, and I've never returned to that Ivy again. I've never had a joke audibly not land. And I came back here, and I'm like, honey, I can't ever go shopping without you. We are a double act.
I clearly am
not funny enough on my own.
I used to have certain friends I'd do bits with when we went out. And especially like in front of, like at a restaurant, you know, with the wait staff or whatever. I used to do that with certain people, but you know, some people, other people you don't, you know what I mean? Because some people are game and some people aren't.
And that's why we sort of try and play it to each other.
Yeah.
Because if they don't care, we're having fun. And then we rub them in if they get involved. Because it's mostly me just randomly bullshitting about stuff and then her chastising me loudly and then getting involved. Or her just, like, teasing me about something and then we go from there. And, well, and we told you about the one before who the bagger was a developmentally disabled individual who had somebody who was helping him.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just stone cold through the whole thing. And then I said something and she lost it, and she starts cracking up. And slowly it became a thing. Like, she would literally see us in line, and they would come over and be like, I know you guys need an audience, and stuff like this.
So you usually, when you're by yourself, and you try to tell a joke or lighten the mood or whatever, that usually works?
I'm pretty damn funny.
Well, that's beside the point.
No, it's not, though. I'm pretty good at it.
But that is beside the point. Because a lot of times, it's not going to matter what you say. Let me paint a scenario for you that's similar to your thing, but I'm not really talking about your thing. I'm just saying there's lots of situations where if it's a young woman and you are an older man and you're trying to be funny, this is going to be taken in a particular way, and yes. It will not matter how funny you are.
No, no, no. And you have to read the room.
Yeah.
And you have to approach it in certain ways, and I can't explain it. It's a very organic thing, but yeah, certain people, certain jokes, certain situations. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're like, this isn't going to
work.
Yeah,
right. That's right. Right.
And that's the thing. But also, most of the time I got her with me. And not only do I suddenly become much less threatening.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly
but
right.
But also, she can save me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it starts to die, she can swoop in with something. Mm-hmm. I mean, the easiest one is just to smirk and apologize for your spouse. That's the easy one.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, that's the thing. When you got two people, you can save it.
Yeah.
But no, I do it. And I was raised by a woman who cannot leave. If she's a customer somewhere, the staff have to be her best friend by the time she leaves. And she's pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And I absolutely inherited that. And you can push that too far. But yeah, you gotta read the room. I do it a lot. Mm. I can't not make jokes. This is a problem. This is why everybody always thinks I get over trauma so fast. Because I will be really like hurting and sad, and 5 minutes later I'm cracking jokes, and it's like my brain doesn't know how not to.
Well, I again, this might surprise you, or maybe you will think it's not true. But I think in very much the same way, except I've trained myself to not tell jokes, mostly because as I was growing up, and I think there was probably a time where you and I were like, if you look at me when a certain age and you at a certain age, you wouldn't have been able to tell much of a difference
in terms of
clowning around and stuff. But I got to the point where
it's probably before puberty though.
Yeah, probably. I got to the point where I decided, you know what? There are certain kinds of jokes that I am not going to tell, but that doesn't mean they didn't come up in my head.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I developed quite a bit of discipline behind it until I got to be so second-guessing myself all the time that not only did I stop telling those jokes, but I kind of had to stop telling jokes in general because I was no longer any good at it. Because, you know what I mean? To tell
no,
a joke,
absolutely.
You've got to commit.
And you have to practice.
That's right.
And that we watch a lot of comedy and stuff like that.
Yeah, right, right.
And like I said, she and I do this all the time in the car, and we will literally do a thing and then like analyze that thing.
Yeah,
like silly, like we're not getting like really, but we're like, wow, that didn't work. we held that premise on too long or like something like that. There was a time when we probably looked very similar. Also, somewhere in my teens especially, I had a major change. I was a lot more demure back in the day. Something snapped around sophomore year of high school, and I made a big leap in not caring what other people thought about me, and that made a huge difference.
Interesting.
My mother refers to it, probably from some cult she was part of, as asshole theater. And it's a skill. It's the ability to make a fool of yourself and not care. And I'm pretty good at it.
Well,
and that helps a lot.
I don't think I ever really cared what other people thought, except, see, I was the opposite. I, for a long time when I was a kid, I mean, there was no filter. And it was crazy.
So many swears.
I didn't swear because my folks didn't, so that wasn't a problem. But I was just crazy. You know, I would do whatever. And most of it worked because, I don't know, it just did. But when I reached a certain age and I just decided that it wasn't an issue of caring what other people thought, because I never really cared about that. It was more of an issue of I want to make a certain kind of impact, right? Like, I don't want to tell a joke that's going to hurt someone's feelings. I don't want to tell a joke that's going to offend somebody because that's no fun. You know, I just wanted to have a certain kind of impact. And so I started to sort of second guess things. So it was more of the effect. I didn't want to embarrass anybody. I didn't, you know. And so when you cut those things out of your comedy, it narrows it down quite a bit.
I suppose. I mean, I wouldn't go around saying that I am okay with hurting people.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
Embarrassing them.
That's not what I meant. I meant for me to make sure I didn't do those things. I adopted a particular strategy that obviously you didn't have to adopt, you know, just to
it does happen sometimes.
But
if you want to be 100% sure, then you can.
Well, and again, I don't know if I really offended people much when I was a kid, but I could have. I didn't even know it. See, I wasn't paying attention to it. I was just going crazy. So, like I said, when I reached that point in my life, I thought, I need to pay more attention to the impact I'm having, and I don't want to do these things. And so I adopted that kind of strategy that I think sort of hamstrung me in down the road. But that was my experience. Different than yours, obviously. And different probably than anybody who's considered a funny person.
I don't know. How was your week?
Well, we finally finished The Addams Family.
Oot.
Which I really enjoyed. I wish I could recommend it. I mean, you asked me early on if it held up, and of course it doesn't, but I loved it anyway.
There's a thing with certain stuff like that. And when I talk about watching old things, that I'm like, I just like the time and place and the moment of it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's good or even entertaining, but for me, it's entertaining.
Yep. And then we started watching, CNN made these multi-episode limited series on the decades.
Yeah.
And I think they did the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And I watched all those, and they're actually quite good. So we're watching the 90s right now because we didn't know they'd released the 90s. We saw the 2000s was out. And we thought, what? Did they skip the 90s? Nope, there it is. It's on Netflix. I don't think the 90s one is as good, but it's kind of interesting. Have you watched them?
No. I watch VH1s. I love the 80s and the 70s and the 90s and the aughts. And then the second version that they did all over again.
Well, that's
a very different thing.
I do recommend them, these CNN things. Again, I'm not sure the 90s one's very good. What's interesting about it, though, today, we were watching the episode on Bill Clinton's presidency.
Oh, yeah?
And I don't know this for sure, but I'm gonna put it out there and see what you think. I mean, I know you haven't seen it, but I'll describe it to you. Hopefully you can give me some informed opinion. But they talked about the Bill Clinton's scandals.
Yeah.
But the sense of it was definitely the same as it kind of was during the 90s, which was, oh, this is no big deal. The Republicans are making a big deal out of this. This isn't a big deal, et cetera. But it felt weird, and it felt definitely like they put this episode together before the whole Me Too thing. Because after Me Too, I don't think people see all of that in the same way.
No, but I think that's also just true even before Me Too. I think that stuff doesn't fly. I mean, at the time, even myself, I remember it was all sort of silly in retrospect, and now I'm like, oh, shit, Bill Clinton's probably a rapist.
Well, and he definitely...
I mean, he definitely abused his power and
sexually
harassed. Yeah, no, without a doubt.
But people weren't thinking about it like that. Like, no. In this episode, it was all about... It wasn't about the fact that he did this thing or that Monica Lewinsky was maybe victimized in a way.
Yeah, no,
it
no,
was
no.
only about how the Republicans were using this to browbeat him. And it was kind of a... So my wife and I are watching it, and we're like, the tone of this seems wrong. Yeah.
Me Too, and also just the passage of time has changed how we look at sexual violence. And I mean, we still have a long way to go, but compared to the 90s, it's huge. Well, and it's true of so many issues at the time. Sexism, racism, all that. The 90s was when we finally started talking about it, but we were just... we weren't analyzing how we should be talking about it.
But I'm talking about when they made this episode.
No, and then I just think that's just poorly done.
That was that's 2 years ago.
You know, that's just shitty.
Yeah, don't you think so?
Yeah, no, that's just poorly done. I don't think that's because of Me Too, because 2 years ago, that's still... I had already come to that position on Bill Clinton 2 years ago.
I think a lot of people did. But the mood of this episode was that the people who were talking hadn't. No. They were caught,
but
you know.
At the time, it was essentially a non-issue.
Yeah, it was treated that way.
And so at the time, It, like, the Republicans weren't trying to find justice or anything like that. It was absolutely
you're right,
shallow scandal at the time. But, it's just in retrospect, it's like, oh, Jesus, how did we do that?
But here's the thing, though. If you watch their 80s series, because that's when the Anita Hill thing happened. Was that in the 80s?
No, that was the 90s, too.
Oh, so maybe they're still going to talk about
it. Yeah, because I think it was 91.
Well, who nominated? I don't even remember who nominated Clarence Thomas.
Oh,
it wasn't.
No, you're right. It was probably Bush Senior. So it was probably the late 80s.
I seem to recall I've already seen them do something on it.
It's probably the late 80s.
And when they talked about,
I wanted to say it was 91.
When they talked about that, they talked about how terrible it was, how she was treated.
Except wait, 91 still would have been Bush Senior.
Yeah.
Because Clinton wasn't until 92.
That's right. Well, and technically not even 90. He was inaugurated in 93. I don't know. Seems like they've already dealt with it. And when they dealt with that, it was like, oh, yeah, this was a terrible thing. And they treated her kind of bad, and et cetera, et cetera. But then when they were talking about, you know, 2 years later when they do, or the next year, I guess, they do the 90s, and they're talking about all this, they don't really say anything about how maybe Bill Clinton shouldn't have done those things. It's all about how the Republicans, which they were. The Republicans were explaining
they didn't really care.
And,
the best apologist version I can come up with is it was somewhat accurately reflecting how society viewed those positions at the time.
Well, but again, a lot of people didn't believe Anita Hill either.
Yeah. But I think people took that more seriously.
Maybe they did.
How do I put this? Very few people on either side of the political spectrum were angry about Bill Clinton's behavior at the time.
Really, genuinely.
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
They would be like, no, that's like, basically they'd be like, that's low class bullcrap, he shouldn't be in office. Or they'd be like, oh, who cares? So he got a blowjob, whatever. But like, people were seriously pissed off about Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, they were pretty divided on that.
Not quite like we are nowadays, but I mean, like, but that's me absolutely being apologetic for them. From what you're describing, it just sounds like it was poorly made.
Well, that's kind of what I felt like. Mm-hmm. I mean, my wife and I thought, wow, this is really tone deaf if it were made today.
I mean, you can,
and for 2 years ago too, but
yeah, see how it treats, because I mean, there's lots of political issues that look different now. So see if other ones actually try and look at it through the present day lens, or if they're just treating them as they were treated back then.
Well, it's just, I mean, I don't know, and certainly someone can correct me if this is wrong, but I don't remember Bill Clinton being seriously looked at or talked about in relation to all that stuff until after the Me Too thing. I mean, I had a problem with it. Of course, I had a problem with it at the time too, but
no, and every once in a while it would come up, but no, for the most part, because people had been sitting through a lot of, well, and because he was charismatic and he went on, because nothing really came of that, he went on to continue to have a great career afterwards.
Right.
And to be honest, people still kind of don't. Like, we're all talking about it now, but I don't feel like, you know, he's been shunned by society or anything. He probably fucking should be. But,
yeah,
although maybe we can finally stop talking about the Clintons now that Hillary has officially said she's not running again. And don't get me wrong. If Hillary Clinton wants to be president, I will vote for her. I'm just so glad she's not running again, because I'm sorry, but it's not going to happen.
You don't like any of the other people in the field?
No, I do. I just like Hillary Clinton.
Oh, okay.
No. I would have been pissed if I found out she was running again, because clearly, for a variety of reasons, much of which have to do with just her being a woman in a powerful position, this country's not ready to fucking deal with that. And
well, do you think that the women who are looking for the nomination now also don't have a chance, or?
We'll have to wait and see. I don't know. The thing is, I don't caucus. So I pretty much try and avoid looking at anything that happens now until after the
nominee is named. Yeah.
Because, well, and especially this early, because there are people I've never heard of. And in a couple months, I will never hear of them again.
Yeah.
But I don't caucus. I don't work for campaigns. So all of this is purely masturbatory for me at this point. And that just stresses me out. Why would I want to do that?
I hear you.
There are several women candidates, and I like the idea of a woman president. I have been burned really bad a couple of years ago. So, you know, just in general, I'm not getting my hopes up about any of this. I'm trying to prepare myself so I don't have to go through what I went through in 2016 if the Big Cheeto gets elected in 2020 again. Like, I have to have a thick enough skin because I can't go through that trauma again. So I have to be prepared that we are that stupid of a country, or that we are that manipulated by Russia of a country, or that we are that bad at math of a country. I don't know. But whatever it is, I have to be prepared for that. So, yeah, that's the thing. This is not an interesting election at all for me, because the answer is I will vote for the Democratic nominee, and I have no idea who that's going to be yet, but that's who I'm going to vote for. Like, yeah. There's no question.
I understand what you're saying.
Bag of old hair. Still voting for it. Hell. George W. Bush decides to run for the Democratic Party. I'm still voting for him.
So I watched, yeah, we finished that. Adam's Family, we're watching that CNN thing. I think that's it. I mean, we're going to go see Captain Marvel tonight.
Oh, I got friends who are going to see it tonight. We're going to go see it tomorrow night in Quad Cities because we're meeting up with Stephanie and do it.
When we weren't sure if I was coming, we thought, would we go to the movie anyway because we could walk there?
Yeah.
Or, you know, driving a mile and a half is different than
absolutely
8.5 miles on the interstate. So we thought, will we still go? So then it's like, well, the weather's not going to be bad. I'm going to go podcast. So then it's like, well, should we not go? But the thing is, the first showing tonight is 7 o'clock, okay. And the second one's 8:30, which is, we can get there in plenty of time for the 8:30 show.
Absolutely.
So it's like, yeah, let's just still go. So I'm going to pick my wife up right after this, and we're going to go, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now that critics are coming in, it's getting worse reviews than I was hoping. Hmm. Like, nobody's saying it's bad, but quite a few people are saying it's mediocre.
Interesting.
And quite a lot of people are very specifically saying it's no Wonder Woman. So I'm a little, I mean, I can't imagine I'm going to dislike it, but I'm now sad that I might not like it as much as I wanted to like it.
Well, we liked the previews a lot.
Yeah, the previews were
I awesome. Remember being baffled when people later were talking about how she wasn't smiling and thinking, and I thought, and claiming it didn't have anything to do with sexism. I thought, yes, it. Are you kidding me? Oh, I've got one name for you, James Bond. Daniel Craig, every scene in a preview for his movies, he has the same face like he's wearing a mask. Every poster he's in.
I can't picture Daniel Craig smiling unless I think back to his character in Logan Lucky.
Or
who was he, lunatic?
He was in one of the... video game movie, you know, it was Lara Croft. He was in one of the Lara Croft movies, the first one. Okay. And he was
smile?
Yeah, he was just acting like a normal guy. He wasn't
didn't smile in Golden Compass, I don't think.
But you know, I don't think I've seen any of his Bond movies because I don't really like him very much, but all of his posters, he has the same look on his face.
No.
This idea that, oh no, it doesn't have anything to do with sexism, she just looks wooden. No, baloney.
You're arguing water's wet. We all know that that's bullshit.
It kind of made
And if you didn't, stop listening.
But the thing is, I liked, not only was I surprised that people complained about it, but I liked how, you know, badass she seemed, right?
She's a freaking alien soldier. I mean, obviously she's also sort of not, but that's part of the story. Spoilers. Anyway, she's a freaking alien soldier here to fight scary things.
I mean,
you don't, those characters don't smile.
People were trying to say, well, she looks so wooden. No, she doesn't look wooden. Yep. She looks serious. Yep. She looks like she's getting...
like a badass.
Yeah, like a badass. This is what badass men are supposed to look like. Again, James Bond. So, I'm
calling every action hero in everything ever.
It made me angry. But anyway, so I don't think my wife was all that interested in it at first because she's not a big Marvel fan.
Yeah.
But when she saw the preview, she's like, yeah, we got to go see that. And so awesome. We're seeing it tonight. And I'm a really lot of shit interested.
Coming out. That's coming out this week. Next week is Captive State, which looks really interesting. Week after that is fucking Jordan Peele's Us.
Oh, yeah.
Trish just doesn't want to see it.
It looks really scary.
I know. I'm definitely going to see it at some point. I don't know if I'm going to see it in the theater.
I don't know either, it looks good.
I loved Get Out with all my heart.
Get Out was very good.
This looks fucked up. I will definitely see it at some point. Trish is just out. And then the week after that is Shazam, which you're going to go see.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after that is Hellboy, which I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah, we'll probably see that, too.
And then a couple weeks after that is
I think Pet Sematary comes out in there somewhere.
Oh, fuck that. I don't give a shit about Pet Sematary for quite a long list of reasons, actually.
Well, my wife...
First of all the reasons I didn't give a shit about Pet Sematary when it first came out, plus all the reasons I'm sick of bullshit reboots like this. So put those two lists together.
Well, I think
I
think of all the Stephen King stories, my wife thought that was like one of the best. So
sometimes that is better.
She's kind of interested in it.
Pepperidge Farm remembers. That's totally the accent he uses. I will give you this. It was better than Skinwalkers. But everything in my life, the time when I almost died due to a botched tonsillectomy, was better than Skinwalker. Movie sucked.
Well, tell me about your week. I'm sorry.
There's not a lot of time. Which is too bad because I did a lot of shit.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Many things.
Okay, well.
We went to Chicago.
You went?
For the weekend.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Did I know this?
Yes.
For what reason?
Going to see Rhea Butcher.
Oh.
And going to the Catcade.
Wait, are you sure you told me about this?
I think so. Last week.
Rhea Butcher and...
And the Catcade. I'll get to it.
I don't remember it.
So, we took Friday off. And okay. We drove up to Chicago.
Yeah.
And stayed in a really nice hotel, middle of downtown, and went and saw Rhea Butcher, who's a comedian that we love. This is the third time we've seen them live. Let's just preface this by saying, Rhea Butcher identifies with they/them pronouns. Rhea Butcher's opening act, whose last name I can't remember, but whose first name is Whitney, and who I had not heard of before, but is awesome, I think also identifies they/them pronouns. Rhea Butcher identified them as such. They are. I will probably fuck it up while I talk about it, so be prepared for that. But yeah, so we went to this place in Chicago called Talia Hall, which had never been before, and it's like a restaurant thing, and then it also has upstairs this giant auditorium. It's very cool. It was a great show. Had a great time. We got VIP tickets, which was just because, like, all the tickets were surprisingly cheap, but got those specifically because then you got to sit in the front rows or whatever, and otherwise it was general admission, and I'm too old to cope with general admission. I mean, there's literally standing room only in places, and I'm like, I can't handle that. So we got that, but it included to do a meet and greet afterwards.
Sure.
With the talent. We opted not to because we were very tired, and also because of starting on Friday I got sick.
Oh no.
And there was some worry, but I'm like, we're going. If I'm just sick in the hotel there, that's fine. But, like, I don't want Trish to miss out on stuff because she was very excited about all this. We went and just kind of powered through. Like, I didn't feel great the whole time, but we did all the things. Huh. Except on Saturday night, we were going to go to a supper club / drag show. And we decided we were too tired, and we didn't because it would have been, like, two long cab rides far away and all that. And we were like, we're just tired. So we stuck around local and went to a nearby place instead. But otherwise, we did all the things, so powered through. Then on Tuesday, the cold hit me again like a Mack truck, and so I was home sick on Tuesday.
Mm.
Feeling much better now, in the words of John Astin. Anyway, so we go to Rhea Butcher's show. Great show. The opener, who apparently has an album out, Whitney something, I don't know. Go look Rhea Butcher's tour. You find out who the opener is. They were also awesome. Hell of a time. The thing I want to talk about specifically, so while we're there, I go to use the bathroom. And I go to a bathroom that clearly has, like, been bolted on or whatever. It says men or whatever. But there's a sign taped on it that says gender-neutral bathroom. Mm. And I'm like, good on them. And I go inside. This was a very gender-neutral bathroom.
Okay.
All of the genders were there. To the degree that, like, I'm genuinely not sure of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't happen very often. But I was like, I don't even know. And it was a really... I mean, and this sounds silly, it's a bathroom or whatever. It was a really neat experience for me because, you know, it's a busy concert, so there were lots of people coming in and out. And we all kind of didn't know what we were doing because you don't have a lot of experience with that. But everybody was, like, nice, but everybody was, like, slightly nervous. And just, oh, no, pardon me and all this. And, I mean, there were men in there, there were women in there, and, like I say, plenty of people that I couldn't figure out what was what, but everybody was, like, perfectly nice, and, you know, and it just felt very respectful and pleasant, which I don't generally feel in public bathrooms, but, like, everybody was, like, just very cognizant of everyone else and staying out of everyone's way and respecting everybody's privacy and stuff like that, and it was nice, so I kind of enjoyed that.
You'd never been in a bathroom that was, like,
because I had never been in a gender-neutral bathroom that actually had non-males in there, except in college, where we actually had a dual-gender bathroom. The floor I was on one year had almost no men, and so we had one women's room and one either-or.
Mm.
But that, I knew all the people, and so that was a different environment. And it was, you know, in the dorm, so that was my bathroom. That wasn't, like, a public bathroom.
I was at a discotheque in Montreal, I think, and they had a...
I right off the bat, I refute that sentence.
No, I was. And the bathrooms were just anybody could go in.
Were you avoiding the draft? What the hell?
No.
I was at a discotheque in Montreal.
I think it was Montreal. It could have been Quebec. I don't remember. One of the two.
A, this has never happened to William. B, that sounds like the opening line to a Velvet Underground song. Like, what the fuck?
We were...
Why were you in a discotheque? How were you... How do you know what discotheques are and Montreal?
It was a school trip. Our high school trip went to...
Melcher Dallas High School.
Yeah. Went to various places
and
in
Canada.
And
the discotheques they're in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if parents knew that we were going to be doing that, but we did. And
I don't even know you.
I don't know what you call the bathrooms. I mean, it wasn't the gender-neutral bathroom. It was like...
Nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, that's what it was. And the odd thing is... The odd thing... So I was, you know, 17 or 18. I don't remember now. But it didn't seem weird to me at all.
You couldn't go on the trip and your friend told you this story. Like, I don't feel like this.
You don't think this happened to me?
Oh, my God. William Wright just said I was in a discotheque in Montreal. Just straight up there.
What?
I'm like, is this real life?
What? I mean, thinking back, I'm not sure how we even got in. Did I? No.
At the discotheque?
No.
In Montreal?
No, I was just there for, you know, for cultural, just to see what it was like. Lots of other people, the young women who were with me tried to make themselves up like nobody would be able to tell they were 17, 16, 17, 18, but you could tell. I didn't even, you know, I just came as I was, so I'm sure people could tell right away what my deal was.
Like,
but it seemed like
from Melcher Dallas.
It seemed like it looked like most of the people were my age, but I'm sure they were college age. I don't even know how I got in. I don't know why
I
was
either.
There, but I did go.
I don't know how your brain let you go in. I feel like it would stop you. There'd be like an invisible wall at the thing. And you're like,
why?
It's not antithetical to William.
How so?
It's rooted in the very nature of the William and the hypothetical, very hypothetical discotheque in Montreal.
Oh, well, like, you mean it just, what about it seems like I would not never do this?
I guess mostly discotheque. But a little bit Montreal.
I don't... okay.
If you'd like to explain to William how you also don't believe he was in a discotheque in Montreal.
Well, it could have been Toronto now that I think
about it. Also, Montreal is in Quebec, so I don't...
Or Quebec...
Quebec City?
Yeah, Quebec City right. is what I meant.
Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and see if you can explain it to him. Jazz, Montreal,
Quebec City, or Toronto.
I know, Jazz, you're also freaking out as you're hearing
no,
this.
No, so she's not. She doesn't anyway, think that's so strange.
The day after this, we went to the Catcade.
What is that?
Catcade is a thing in Chicago. It is a thing... Trish has been following on Instagram for a long time, and so she knows a lot about it, and she knows a lot about what's going on. And she said, next time we go to Chicago, we're going to do this. So we did this. Catcade is a cat shelter. They take in cats that are going to be killed. So frequently it's not cats local to Chicago, because apparently Chicago's animal shelters are pretty good about being no-kill and stuff like that.
Hmm.
But in the surrounding area, they find out cats that like are said to be euthanized or whatever, and they get them, and it's cat shelter. But in order to earn money for the shelter and help encourage people to adopt these cats, they have this big room. And this room has chairs and cat trees and couches and things like that and video games, like old table ones where you play like Pac-Man and stuff like that. There's a Nintendo 64 set up with Mario Kart in it and stuff like that. And then cats just in there and around. And you sign a waiver and you pay $15 and you get a drink, like non-alcoholic. You get like a bottle of water where they have a little fridge and you can just pick something. And you get to go in and spend an hour in there. Just playing video games and hanging out with cats.
Hmm.
To you, this means nothing. People are listening right now and they're like, oh.
How are the video games connected to this? I mean,
this is something for you to do because, well, I was playing on this. So it's a little awkward when you first go in. Because, not to you, but to the rest of us who go in, we want to pet cats.
Kind of like going to a discotheque. It's little really bit, awkward. It's,
I mean, I wouldn't know. I haven't been to a discotheque in Montreal. I'm not nearly as
you've been to a
cosmopolitan.
Though.
I've never been to anything that called itself a discotheque.
Well, they call it yes. that.
no, because you go there, you want to play with cats. You want to hold cats. You want to stroke cats. You want.
Oh,
but the cats are doing whatever the fuck they want to do.
Because that's
and
cats.
You can't really fuck with that.
Yeah.
And someone like literally the time we were there, at least three cats were just asleep the whole time.
Mm.
And so you don't realize they show up and then you're like, can't just, I mean, you can go and like approach a cat, but they might not want anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, like, they have toys and you can do that. That's fine. So the video games are something for you to do in the meantime.
Okay.
And sometimes the cats are with it. Like, I've tried to play, and this one cat was up on top of the table and was trying to chase Miss Pac-Man around. That was fun. Then she flopped down, and I was like, oh, and I reached out to pet her. And then she bit me, and I'm like, okay, we're not there yet. I'll leave you be. But, so we're sitting around there, and at a certain point, this little one, this little orange tabby, it was missing a chunk of its tail, hopped up on the table between two chairs where Trish and I are sitting, and went over to Trish, and it decided that Trish was the place to stay. And so it squeezed in with her and promptly zonked out and stayed there for the rest of the time. I'm showing him pictures, so it's better.
Wow.
Zonked out. And so she was just there sort of taking care of it the rest of the time. And I was playing with some of the others because they got things on sticks that you can play with and stuff like that. But nothing really happened too much. I played some video games or whatever. Now, there's this big cat. It's a big orange tabby named Leo. He is not up for adoption. He is the resident cat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's on there. And he runs that shit.
Mm.
Like, he goes around and does whatever the fuck he wants. And so, for the most part, he's not even acknowledging humans. He's jumping up on things. Like, he's climbing over cabinets of video games and stuff like that. And then at a certain point, he just decides to come up and climb onto me.
Oh.
And snuggle up with me. And so we were all snuggled up there, and he was very happy, and I was very happy. And then after a while, he's like, okay, I'm getting down. And then like 10 minutes later, he's like, okay, I'm getting back up. So by the time I left, I had like half of Leo's fur on me, shedded, but it was a wonderful experience. And I gave them money afterward. I was like, can I just donate some more money
to you? Well, that's nice.
They're really cool. And they're, like I said, they brought in cats while we were there that they had just pulled, and I'd seen pictures beforehand or whatever, because we were talking, like, Trish knows them on Instagram and stuff like that. So we're seeing pictures of, like, cats that have been very, like, abused or that were found and nobody knows what, or have mutated issues and stuff like that. There was this little tiny kitten that looked kind of Siamese, and she had no tail, and apparently she just had been, like, born that way. And she had only been, like, considered okay enough to be into the room, like, the day before, and she was trying to play with everything, but she could not figure her shit out. So she would, like, climb up to play with stuff, and then she'd just fall over, but she was adorable. And people were literally talking about adopting. We were like, full disclosure up front, we have three, we are not adopting shit. But, so it was really good, and I highly recommend it. It's just called The Catcade, CATCADE. Check them out. If you're on Instagram and stuff like that, there's all sorts of cool pictures and stuff like that, so you can just follow them, and it's neat too. But also, if you're anywhere near Chicago, do it. It's like $15 for an hour. Comes with a free drink. It's pretty good. We only got like 10 minutes, so I think that's pretty much... I saw a couple movies. Can't really recommend them, so that's fine. We'll talk about them later. Draw a thing.
You did tell me you were going out of town, but I don't know if you told me what Chicago. You were going to do.
Catcade. Rhea Butcher.
I do remember you saying you were going out of town, though. David Vid wants to know.
David Vid, I got to talk to David Vid. David Vid is supposed to have told me how the rest of that Amber game went at GamerCon. He hasn't yet. I'm going to have to bug him.
When will the producer return to guest host the show? Whoa. Well, thanks, Dave.
Hey, she has guest hosted removing both of us That's before. True. And That's not removing true. Any, so he could be saying all sorts of things. Well, Dave, she did just recently do it. Like... a month ago. I don't know when you wrote this question, but I, too, keep trying to find ways to get rid of William. It's harder than you think. We've fed him, and once then, he just won't go away.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that black bean stew? And ever since then, he just won't leave. I think, well, part of the thing, Trish now has a thing she does while we're podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
She and her sister watch TV together. Basically, they both just watch it streaming, and then they text while it's happening. And they've done a variety of different ones. Currently, they are watching Legends of Tomorrow off the CW.
Oh.
Which is hard going, and I warned them it was hard going. First of all, she didn't remember we already tried to watch the show and failed. Second of all, the people I know who most love that show say... the first season is terrible. The second season is only better in that it's not the first season. And then by the third season, it gets good. And the problem is, fucking CW, these are 22-episode seasons. So...
I actually thought the first season was okay. I love it. I love watching it.
But... so she's slowly dying in the other room as we speak. She doesn't want to do this regularly. She doesn't want to have any responsibility or commitment to doing it. She is... pretty happy, though, to jump in when needed.
Which is very nice.
And
they're great episodes, too.
And that's how she saved us. I feel like a little of them goes a long way, so I don't know. Like, if you got hit by a bus or something, well, we would. I don't think we would for a lot of reasons, but I also don't think the podcast would work as well if it was just her and I. It would definitely be something different.
I don't know. I like them.
I'm not saying they're bad. I just feel like they're, you know, every once in a while is good. I think if it was a regular thing, it wouldn't be the same.
Hard to say.
I want to get your wife on here sometime.
I wonder if she'd ever do it.
Yeah. You always used to say you didn't think she would, but.
Maybe she would.
Things change.
Yeah, things change. They sure do. I mean, none of us are the same people we were 10 years
ago. Well, and the thing is. Spoiler for those who never knew this. The episode that Trish and William did without me, I was here.
Yeah, you were here.
I was laying on the floor trying not to cough because I had laryngitis. So I was laying on the floor in front of them and trying not to laugh too hard at their antics. I think it would be fascinating to actually have an episode that I wasn't present for. So it'd be interesting if, like, you and your wife did an episode at your house, and then I just have to listen to it, which is funny because I don't listen to the show. And in fact, when I talk to people, I'm like, I used to listen to such and such podcast. I'm like, but I don't listen to podcasts anymore. Like, I don't even listen to my own podcast. And I record that shit. So, yeah, but I think she might at some point. I mean, I'm certain she will, especially if winter is ever like this again. We had to burn through so many
yes.
mystery episodes.
Well, we didn't have to put up a...
We didn't have to put up a classic. Classic. We almost did.
Yeah, we almost did.
Then Trish came in and saved us.
Yeah.
So.
It's tough. Doing this, making sure you hit every Thursday, that's tough.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is good to have such a large...
Yeah, if we ever do have to pull a classic, we got lots of options.
Yeah, nobody remembers. Like I said, Mark listened and put in notes just like the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like the first time. I didn't go check, though, to see if he said the same things.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I love when I read Mark's shit, is I read it, but I always read it like weeks after.
Oh, yeah, so you don't know he's behind. You don't know.
So I genuinely have no context, but I read every single one and then say nothing.
Yeah.
I feel like he's doing a thing like Mark secretly has a blog within our blog,
oh.
within our podcast, but his blog is like a different thing.
Mm.
I don't know. Somebody should collect that. Collect all of Mark's entries and just do it as a blog and see what it means. Because sometimes he goes into great detail as to what he's referencing so that even I can like be like, oh, I see what he's saying. Other times he's like, regarding such and such. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. Did we talk about that? Like, what did we say about that? I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I often. But sometimes I'll try to, I don't know. I won't listen to the whole thing again, but I'll try to like zip through it to see if I can figure out what he's talking about. Yeah.
But then again, I can't be too bad because also, I'm going to be honest, I don't read every comment that you and Jez post when you are talking.
We're having a big conversation?
Yes.
Yes, I know.
I try, but...
What's that?
I get tired.
What's that thing people say, too long, quit reading?
Too long, didn't read.
Yeah, too long, didn't read.
DR.
That was created for me.
Tilder.
Back in the day, I always, all my stuff was too long.
I still have that. Frequently, if I'm writing a personal email, I almost always start it by saying, this is going to be really long. Like, before I've composed it, I'm like, I know, this will be really long. I've had to watch out for that. As a GM, sometimes I will send stuff, and then I'll be like, okay, so we got, and we show up, and I'm like, all right, so we're prepared. And then someone will be like, no, I'm not. I didn't have time to read that giant thing you wrote, and then I forgot to read it later. I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, that's kind of on me.
Well, what are you supposed to do?
Shorter? I
mean, how?
Oh, no. They absolutely can be shorter.
Oh, okay.
No, they can be much shorter.
I mean, a lot of my stuff could be shorter, too, but some of it's like, no, this is all stuff you need to know, so if you can't read it in one sitting, read it in two or three.
Yeah.
But no, these, sometimes they can be shorter.
To be ramble. Well, you've seen my emails. They tend to ramble a bit. I'm working on editing someone else's novel right now.
Oh.
Just started.
That should be interesting.
It's weird.
It is.
Yeah. I'm torn. I don't think it's very good.
Oh.
But it's in a way that both, I think, could be a little personal to me.
Oh.
And also is hard to describe. Like, it's just very mediocre in a way that I'm like, I don't know how to say it other than just like, I mean, there are specific things I can't, but for the most part, it's just like, write better. I'm like, that's not helpful.
No, that's not helpful.
Write more good.
More goodly?
I mean, it's very much like a mediocre level, mass-produced, moderately successful Amazon author.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all the sentences make sense. I understand the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, it could be so much, it could be better.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be better. So yeah, I don't know. It makes about as much sense as the First Lady's campaign. So.
The what?
Be best. You know, be best.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why she named it that.
Yeah, no, nobody is. All right, that's it for now. If you'd like us to make fun of you on the podcast, we probably already do, but you could also write in themagicaltalkinghat.com and tell us stuff there. Also, actually write in, which is what I said originally, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and give us little questions, topics, comments, things like that. Otherwise, just listen again next week, and we'll talk about more things.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.